Thanks for listening to the podcast from Jonathan Combs and the preaching team at Eastgate Community Church in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Check us out on the web at eastgate.church for more. And now, here's the sermon.
Good morning, church. How are all of you doing? Good. Good to hear. Glad you came in doing well. You're going to leave doing poorly. I'm just warning you now. You thought marriage was bad, talking about that last week. Wait till we talk about parenting. Some of you have come in today and you're not a parent yet. File this away. Some of you are far from being parents. It's okay. I got my youth age over here. Y'all tend to stick over here. I appreciate that. That helps me. I don't have to look around too hard. But file this away. Some of this, though, as children, still applies. It's very interesting. The crazy thing is, we are still somebody's children, and the honor and some of the things we will talk about today still apply. And so there's something here, I believe, for everyone. But this is a very difficult topic. We have taken on many difficult topics in this series, really throughout the year. I feel like I'm on a roll, so I'm just going to take on all the hard stuff. Like, I don't know what we'll do in the second semester as of this year, but the first semester of the school year. But we're going to get into something. We'll see what happens. But anyway, we're talking today about this huge final topic in family life, which is being a parent. Somewhat being a child, but mostly what it means to parent. And to be honest, this is a kind of a terrifying thing. As soon as you have one, you realize this. It kind of happens overnight as you suddenly go, oh my goodness, I'm responsible for this human. It's not a dog. Some of you kind of have your fur babies, but just buckle up because that's nothing, okay? Have a child. They're harder to potty train. It's weird. Like, it's easier to potty train an animal. So you'll have wild animals running through your house and ruin all your carpet when you have children. And so this is a very interesting thing. And I pray this morning that each of you get something out of it, that this is helpful to you, that the Word of God would be alive and true for you. So I'm praying that for you now. Let's go on this journey together, knowing that I'm a broken parent talking to a bunch of dysfunctional parents. Here we go. But the Lord is just and He's good and He wants what's best for our families. And so let's do this together. Let's dig in together. Our series theme that we've been dealing with all the whole series is Psalm 127, which says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. A very important verse for us to remind ourselves that we need the Lord. We cannot do this alone. We can't even think for a moment that we're going to get our family systems right when we come from broken family systems and we desperately need God. No matter who we are, we need Him. Unless the Lord builds the house, we will do a lot of work and it won't amount to much. And so let's admit a couple of things. Go ahead and raise your hands in the room if you're parents right now. You've got some youngins. All parents, go ahead. But who are the ones that still got some youngins in the house? All right. A lot of this for you is terrifying. Some of you are still, if you've already got your kids out of the house and it's still terrifying. I know, I don't know what that feels like, but I understand that that's a reality. But growing up as a child, you don't really notice just how insane the world seems to be. I mean, maybe you do, but as a parent, suddenly you go, I'm scared to take my kids out, like, out of anywhere. You want to just bubble. A lot of us just want to put all our kids in a bubble. Right? And that might seem good in theory, but I promise you that will ruin the kid. All right? So that's not what we're going to talk about today, but I do want to at least put the elephant out there and say, you know, we're worried. There's a lot of things to be worried about. There's stuff constantly in the news. It seems like there's constant shootings. What is happening in our country? It's crazy. And there's so much access now to YouTube, and our kids are smart with their little fingers and swiping, and they'll buy stuff that you didn't know they bought, all right? You just got to be careful. Like, you better set your password, because they will straight up buy some stuff for Clash of Clans or something. I'm just warning you now. YouTube, and it's all accessible, and there's so much to be afraid of. We had dial-up growing up. If you wanted to look at something bad, you had to wait a while. And your parents might catch you, you know. This stuff now, it's instant access. It's terrifying. I understand. It's terrifying. And yet, the Word of God has much to say, and we don't have to live in fear. You know, parenting based on fear is not good parenting. Fear-driven parenting is dangerous parenting. Worry-driven parenting, and I understand if that's where you are. I'm there sometimes too. But try not to live there. Live in God, gospel-filled, love-driven parenting. That's where we're going to be today. So think about this. Some of you have come into this realm of parenting, and to be honest, you really never had an approach. Okay, you just kind of said, we're doing this, all right? And there's kids now, and we're just going to go. We're just going to do this, all right? And you never really thought about even a unified approach. And then you start to unpack family systems, and you realize, I don't parent like my spouse because she or he grew up in a very different way than me, and I never realized it until all of a sudden there's offspring. And now everything's messed up. And this is a danger a lot of us fall in. We don't really think about, okay, what is the plan? It's really maddening. We have a plan for so many things. I know what my game plan, my 10-year career plan is. I got it. I know where I'm in 20 years. I'm gonna be somebody. But when it comes to kids, we're like, well, oops, we did it. There's kids now. I'm suggesting let's have a plan, and let's have a plan that's based here. Let's have a plan that's based in the Word of God and in prayer. And we'll find out that the Lord is just, I believe, and that He will guide our steps. And that's, our kids will have difficulties. There's no promise, there's no guarantee in here that our children will be perfect. In fact, it's the opposite. They will have struggle. But it says, teach, train the child up in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. There might be a season of wild, but he will come back, I believe, is what the Word of God intends. And so, let's trust this. Let's dig into this. Now, let me give you a couple of things just to get your mind kind of flowing. There's a book out there called Effective Parenting in a Defective World. This is Chip Ingram's book. It's a great book. It's an easy read. If you like to read, buy the book. But pop up this graph for me. It's going to be a little small. I hope you can kind of read it. But anyway, there's really four types of parenting. And just, I hope you can kind of understand how this graph works. One line on the graph is based on love, and one is based on discipline. And this is, no matter what kind of parent you are, these are the two things you're implementing all the time, whether you know it or not. Love and discipline. This is what your kids need, and this is what your kids are basing their decisions based on. And so here's a couple of things, and you're in one of these quadrants. Church, you're in one of these quadrants. And so find yourself, and then hear the Word of God and how it can move you into the right quadrant. And so here's the first. The permissive parent. This is a parent who is very high in love and low in discipline. High in love and low in discipline. This parent tends to produce children with surprisingly very low self-esteem. You might think all the love, but no, the discipline causes them to have feelings of inferiority. These kids, they feel loved, but they're never really sure about their limits. They don't know where the boundaries are. And their parents are so afraid of messing up and damaging their children, they never set firm boundaries. A lot of us find ourselves here. We love our kids. We just don't want to break them. And so we break them by trying not to break them. Number two is the neglectful parent. This is a very dangerous place to find yourself. This is a parent that doesn't express a lot of love or discipline. Their children tend to grow up with no real lasting relationship with mom and dad. I think the reason for this is not normally intentional. I don't think any of us intend to be this type of parent, but maybe there's such chaos in your life right now, brokenness. Maybe you're going through a broken relationship. Maybe there's been death in your house. I don't know. There's chaos in your house, and it's caused you to be neglectful. Watch this, parents. Number three is where I often find myself in the danger zone, is the parent that doesn't express a lot of love or affection well, but is very high on discipline. I verbally express love, but I think my actions show otherwise sometimes. And so I'm very high on discipline. And so this is the authoritarian parent. They raise children who are provoked to rebellion. This is terrifying to me. The bar is always high and the musts are always abundant. So there's a strong sense of safety. But these kids, and some of you are these kids, as soon as you got out of the house, you got out of the house and you rebelled against everything that your parents stood for. Because, well, you didn't feel the love, but boy, you felt the discipline. This is a place a lot of people in the church find themselves. This is the authoritarian parent. But here's where we want to be, church. And I want you to understand this is the desire, is that you would be both high in love and high in discipline. That your kids would know you love them, but that you also have boundaries. that you intend to lead them correctly. They're authoritative, not authoritarian. They're compassionate, yet firm. It's a balance. So much in the Word of God is about finding balance. They have clear boundaries. They're loving. You might could call this the fellowshipping parent. Everyone knows who's the boss, but there's respect and there's honor. Don't y'all want to be there? I'm sure you've experienced seasons of life where you're in the authoritative, but you're not always there. I know I'm not. So the great news is this. The Word of God, I believe, draws you right into that correct quadrant. And we're just going to talk about a couple of verses today, just a few. We were in Ephesians last week. Paul, when he wrote Ephesians, he wrote to the family. He had something to say to the God's family, and he had something to say to our biological families. We talked about husbands and wives last week, but today we're going to talk about this parenting, this child-parent relationship. So that's the great news. It's right here. So let's go. We're in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and what we're going to see in God's Word is just how we can bring up our children in the Lord. So let's go. A couple of verses, starting in verse 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Verse 1, kiddos in the room, is for you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord for what? This is right. Now, it doesn't always feel good. It's not always fun. But this is right. Number 2 goes on to say, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. You know, God gave a lot of commands. He gave one that had a great promise. Honor your father and mother, that your days might be long in the land. Guess what that means in reverse? You be a stink to your parents, God's going to take you out. I think that's what he's saying. Like he's, you're just not going to live long. I don't know what God means exactly by this. Maybe it means your days will be hard. You'll live till you're 160, but all 160 will be awful. I don't know what he means exactly by that, but he does give a promise that your days will be long in the land. It seems to be that you'll have a full life. And plus, kids in the room, those of you, and even us adults, if you've had trouble honoring your family, honoring your parents, history has a way of repeating itself. And I think your kids will model after you. They'll see you treating your parents a certain way, and they'll say, well, this is how we treat parents. Honor your father and mother. Even if they're not always worthy of it, you're commanded to do it. Verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you will live long in the land. Verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Paul here says fathers because that's the head of the house, but he intends here the parenting system. He intends to speak to parents, father and mother. He just starts it with fathers there for good reason, because as we learned last week, the men are supposed to be the spiritual leaders in the home. And so that's another topic. If you missed that, go back and watch that from last week, or come see me afterwards and we'll talk about that wonderful, wonderful topic of men being the spiritual leader of their home. So let's dig in. We got to get through this. Guess how many points I got, everybody? I got 4. Last week I went like so long, so just forget lunch. It's not happening. You're not having lunch today. I'm kidding. Here we go. How to bring up your children in the Lord. How to bring them up in the Lord. Number 1, give them a biblical standard to obey. Give them a biblical standard to obey. Yes, the instruction is for children to obey their parents, but I'm talking to parents right now. They don't know what to obey unless you tell them what to obey. You have to give them a standard. It says children here. This is the word that means a dependent child. This is you, this doesn't fit you if you're out of the house, all right? This is children obey your parents. Just like we learned last week, when you get married, you move on. The two shall become one and they will leave the house, all right? So this children obey. Obey literally means to come under hearing, to obey, to come under the hearing of, and then to do this in the Lord. So here's the question. Where's your authority come from? You give them a biblical, you give them, no matter what, parents, you're giving them a standard to obey. The question is, are you giving them a standard based on the Word of God? You're giving it either way, no matter how you look at it. Even if you're the neglectful parent, the standard they're seeing is one of apathy. The standard they're seeing is, well, there is no standard. That is a standard. And so what sort of authority are they seeing? Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. I like how Paul added that in there. He says, obey them in everything. This, man, I wish my kids were in here right now. In everything. Sometimes I'm wrong, but children obey your parents in everything is what Paul says. I'm just saying. Deuteronomy 6:6 says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk in by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." What does this mean, church? This means, parents, your kids should be hearing about the Word of God. As you go about your business, he says, as you're in the house, as you're walking on your way, as you're lying down, as you're rising up, the writer of Deuteronomy is saying, your kids need to be hearing about God from you. They need to be hearing about biblical standards from you. Church, I don't know if this is good or bad news to you today. I hope it's good news. Just so you know, the 40, 45 minutes, 50 minutes we have with your kids on Sunday mornings, we can't accomplish anything. We teach them some Bible stories. I hope they learn things. I hope they're having a good time, and I hope they're safe. These are things I hope. But do you know where they are the other 99% of the time? They're with you. And if you think we're going to teach them how to follow Christ, you're wrong. We can't. We'll do everything we can to try. Whose responsibility is this? It's the same thing that happens to us, and we blame the school system for how dumb our kids are. I'm not saying your kids are dumb. I'm just putting... It's an extreme statement. My daughter had a hard time getting the reading down this year. And she got it by the end of the year. Thank the Lord. But she had such a struggle. And it was hard for me because she's my second and my firstborn. It seemed like things clicked. She's a different type of learner than him. And it's not the teacher's responsibility to get her over the hump. I'm sure the teacher tried. So I had to do a lot of extra work. I'm like, man, some days I'm like, I might as well homeschool with the amount of schoolwork I'm doing. I don't even remember doing this much schoolwork when I was in school. It's crazy. And yet I know that's my responsibility. I hope you understand. Your responsibility is that the Word of God would be on your lips. You want to give them a standard to obey? They need to hear it from the source. When you're sitting in your house, when you're sitting at the dinner table, that's the most chaotic moment in my life is the dinner table. And I don't remember it being like this. My parents were always like, we got to eat together and this is good. And I'm like, well, we need to keep doing that. That moment is crazy. So trying to talk about the Lord, and I'll try to do these Bible quiz things, and they like that, and I give them a whole penny if they get them right, a whole big penny. And they have fun with that, but I'm trying to teach them, and I don't do it enough, and we pray together at night, but I often feel convicted to do more. And are you thinking about this stuff, parents? Giving them a biblical standard. Let me give you a couple of myths and the reality, and we'll move from there. In that same book from Chip Ingram, he gives a parenting myth. And that is that your child's primary responsibility is to juggle the schoolwork and the extracurricular activities that will make them well-rounded, successful adults. That's a myth. Here's the reality. Your child's primary responsibility is to learn healthy obedience. That's it. That they would learn healthy obedience. I might would add that they would learn who Jesus is through that healthy obedience. We often cater our schedules to making sure they do everything they possibly can do extracurricular, but we don't focus on faith, and we certainly don't focus on teaching them to honor and respect. Encourage you with that, church. If you would just set the priority, see, this is what makes a plan good. First step to making a good plan is say, this is our goal. Our goal is that our children would love the Lord and honor their father and mother. We're going to teach them the healthy obedience. Make that your goal. Then all of a sudden, everything you do reshapes a little bit. You'll say, well, do I really need to do all of that stuff to accomplish that goal? Sometimes it's a distraction. All the stuff we do. Let's just be honest, parents. Our schedule is so crammed tight. Simplify. Focus on the goal. Here's a couple of methods to avoid. Some of y'all need to write these down because this is you, all right? So I just write these down and think and pray and say, Lord, help me with this. Here's a couple of methods we're trying that aren't working. We're bribing. We're bribing the kids. That's not healthy obedience. We say, hey, if you'll do what you're supposed to do, I'll give you a sucker. You know what that's accomplishing? Dental visits. That's all that's accomplishing. You're not teaching them healthy obedience. We do things like threatening. I'm guilty of this, boy. I love to threaten. If you don't pick up those toys, I'm going to throw them all in the garbage. You know what I have to do? I have to throw them all in the garbage. Because I got to be a man of my word. I got to teach them that's true. And then that was my money, man. I spent that. That was so dumb. Why did I say that? Threatening. Emotional appeal, this one. Doesn't work. Moms especially, it doesn't work. If you say, well, honey, it hurts my feelings. And oh my gosh, do this for me. And your sons especially are going to learn, mommy is weak. Like, mommy's got no spine. Please stop. Environment. If you can reach it, it's yours. Okay, so then when that person becomes an adult, they go, well, I think I can get into that safe that's across that counter. That's good instruction. Reasoning, just so you know, you don't reason with a child. They're not reasonable. They're not reasonable. Sweetie, your hot dog will get cold if you don't eat it now. Who cares? Eat it. Eat the hot dog. Here's a better one. If you don't eat the hot dog, you don't eat. So if you're not going to eat, then that's on you. Y'all think I'm mean. A lot of us are yellers. It's not a good method. It just teaches them that if you're serious, you're loud. If you're quiet, you're not serious. Is that what you want? I'm guilty of these. I'm not saying this is you and not me. Countdown. Let me count to three. So you're only serious when you start counting. Good, I'm teaching them math. Woohoo. Teapot. I've had all I can take. Guys, if you want to know who I am, I'm the teapot. And it happened to me yesterday. The Lord is so hilarious. He says, oh, you're about to teach on parenting? I'm going to make the kids lose their minds in the car with you. Just absolutely lose it. And I actually said out loud, my patience is at zero. I'm going to kill some of y'all. Everybody was scared. I was even scared because I kind of meant it. These methods are dangerous, and they're not we're not doing what we really want to do. Let's be honest, and we use them, and we do this. I understand. But let's focus here. Let's give them a biblical standard to obey. We're going to make mistakes, parents. I'm not saying you're never going to foul up, but keep coming back to here and saying, and what I had to do at the end of the day is I kind of had to apologize. Nate was kind of disgruntled about it. He's an emotional boy. Why? I had three daughters and a boy. My boy should have been masculine, but I think he's going to be strong. You know, I'm not trying to say the boy's not going to be strong. But boy, he's emotional. I'm the only person in the house that has no real emotion. Until I totally lose it. And then it's strong anger. I've got that one pretty good. So you have to apologize. And you come back to the Word of God and say, okay, Lord, help me, guide me. We need to be more on our knees in prayer and more in this Word to guide our children. And give them a biblical standard. Here's number two. Show them the way of honor. Show them the way of honor. Guess what? Your kids don't come out of the womb knowing how to honor and respect. They know quite the opposite. They know how to honor themselves and take care of themselves. They learn this very soon. I want, it's mine, I need, it's I. You don't have to teach a child that. You do have to teach a child, however, how to honor and how to respect. And they will love you for this. Maybe not at the moment, but eventually they will. The word honor here is to revere, to a sign of high value. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you. This is where Paul is getting it. It comes from Deuteronomy. That you will go well, that you will live long. You will have, I think in a sense, this is a two-part blessing. It's a blessed life. Perhaps it's even long life. Proverbs 30, verse 17 says, the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Parents, I'm giving you some good stuff right here. This is the stuff you look at me like that again, a raven's going to get that eye. I think the writer here of Proverbs is trying to teach us something about honor. And this goes for us as adults. It goes for the children, but it's all of us that have parents. No matter how you feel about it, that you would honor them as someone who created life. I mean, God created you, but they had a part to play. And Romans 12 says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. The game we should be playing as Christians is not the game of, okay, I'm just going to barely do enough to make sure he or she knows that I love them like Christ loves them. I'm just going to do that bare minimum. No, the game that we're supposed to be playing as the church is that we would try to outdo each other with love and honor and respect. That people would want to be a part of what God is doing in this church because all they see us doing is being a people of love and of honor and of respect. And that's what people want. He says, would you outdo one another in showing honor? I'm going to go well beyond doing the bare minimum. And it's certainly true when it comes to parenting. So how does this honor look? I used to hate this phrase, but this is something you should work on with your children. You need to obey immediately, sweetly, and completely. I hated that phrase. Don't use the phrase. Just know it in your head. All right, parents, if you use the phrase, your kids will learn to hate the phrase. You don't want them to hate the phrase. But you try to guide them. Honoring, if you revere somebody, if you respect them, you will do what they ask of you immediately. And you will do it without, this is what I have at my house. They're doing it pretty immediate. But they're not sweet. They're not sweet about it. And it's incomplete a lot of times. So this is a constant struggle. You got to work on it. Don't give up, parents. What does honor look like? It respects parents in thought. It addresses parents appropriately. You know what was one of the great things my parents taught me? It even got me in trouble when I joined the Army. Because when I joined the Army, I was an officer. And I didn't feel I did a lot to get there other than I went to college. And most of the sergeants and stuff knew that. They knew that I'm a knucklehead that just went to college, okay? I felt I needed to earn that. But I would make a mistake a whole lot. It took me 5-6 years to break myself where I would be talking to an enlisted person, but this person is twice my age. And I would say, yes, sir. And that guy would get so mad at me. You don't say yes, sir to me. I work for a living. And I didn't understand that phrase for a while. I think it was a backhanded thing to say to me, actually. He's saying I don't work. I don't know what he meant by that. But nevertheless, in the Army, that's not how the system works. He says yes, sir to me. Which is weird. But you know what? I thank my parents for that. It was so ingrained in me. I say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, to some of your children because I'm trying to give them respect. I'm not saying you have to do that with your kids. I'm just saying it's so ingrained in me that my boss, people around me, I say yes, sir, yes, ma'am. The lady that got my order wrong, the waitress, I still say yes, ma'am. This is a culture of losing values. Let's see if we can do something about that. Let's keep teaching our children to honor us with yes, ma'am, yes, sir. I don't know what it is about that word that they hate so much. Unless your kids are totally different than mine, they want to say yes and no. The sir and the ma'am just hurts their brains to say it. I'm like, it's so easy to say. Keep working on it. Keep working on it. Because someday they'll be in a better place. And they'll thank their parents that, you know what? It's good to have respect. You know what that's done for me in business? I tend to excel because people need and want respect. Teach your kids honor and they will carry it on. What does honor look like? It means caring for your parents when they grow older. Some of you are like, please no. Your kids will be seeing you taking care of your parents and this will teach them honor. I've made a commitment, at least to myself and my wife, and I don't know how she feels about it, but I refuse to put my parents in a home. I don't know what that's going to look like one day. My dad's going to drive me bananas, possibly. I don't know. I got a feeling mom's going to outlive him. We'll see what happens, and she's going to have a lot of cats, I have a feeling. And so, but I refuse to put them in a home. I'm not doing it. You figure out what that looks like for you, but show your parents honor, and your kids will follow suit. Number three, I got to go. Number three, encourage them with sensitivity and consistency. I hope y'all like this, like just fire hydrant me, just because whether you like it or not, I'm doing it. So encourage them with sensitivity and consistency. It says in verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. I'm going to spend a little bit of time here because I believe this is where a lot of us parents struggle, especially Christian parents, because we do want our kids to have discipline. We want them to know that we love them, but our most important priority is that they would obey and have discipline. And so a lot of times we struggle here with this word provoke. Provoke. It says fathers here to talk about this leadership in parenting, that we would be leaders, but that in that leadership, at that mantle, we would not provoke them to anger. This is such a wonderful balance. Provoke is this idea of rousing them to wrath. Or one version says exasperate. I just feel exasperated. Like that word is just not one we use a lot. Exasperate. You drive them, you discourage them, you frustrate them. So many words could be applied here. If you've seen that your children just seem like exhausted by you, they're quick to anger by you, they're frustrated by what you're doing, then you're having some struggle here, okay? You're having struggle, and I understand. I'm here. A lot of us have been here. This is a very difficult thing that only you as a parent with the Lord can figure out, is to find balance. Because every child, if you have more than one, you realize, why couldn't I just have a duplicate? Because I started to kind of figure out the first one. They're all so different. It's insane. And I had a son, and to be honest, I'm having the most trouble with him because he's not like me. He's not. I'm truly, church, truly, I'm not a very emotional person. It's just not who I am. I'm really even keel, really pretty stable. You got to do a lot to get me frazzled. Him, on the other hand, I mean, it doesn't take much. He's just different. He's more emotionally like his mother. Now, he loves a lot of the same stuff I love. I'm not saying that, but so I'm having a lot of trouble there because I tried to parent him as I saw my dad parent me, or as I think that I would want to be parented. I think like that, but that's not the way to think. The way to think is, God, help me understand this boy, please, because I'm not on the same page. If you're not coming to the Lord with that kind of prayer, man, you're going to miss the mark. If you're not saying, okay, this child is unique, he is the way he is, and God made him this way, how do I shape him to follow Christ? Not shape him to be like me. He's never going to be like me. And that's okay, because guess what? I'm not that great. I'm really not. I need Jesus so bad. So let me shape him to be just a warrior for God and be on fire for Christ. If I accomplish that, I'm not worried that he's going to be just like me, because he's just not shaped like that. You understand this, parents? Is this ringing a bell? And then the second child is nothing like him. The third one, if y'all haven't met my Kinsey yet, that's the next Ronda Rousey. I'm telling you right now. That girl is going to hurt people. Everyone's different. You have to be sensitive. You have to be consistent. So parents of multiple children, try to be in prayer with the Lord, be focused in Scripture, and start to notice. You got to put your thinking cap on and start to notice this child and say, all right, here's what's different about this one. I got to work a different angle. I got to take a different approach. What provokes children to anger? If y'all are wondering what you're doing that's causing anger, here's a couple of things that might be happening. And I hope this is helpful. If you're constantly fault-finding, you're constantly, it's their fault about that. Wouldn't that tick you off? You've had bosses like this that everything seems to be your fault. That is just the worst. But we have a hard time as parents because we know it is their fault a lot. But try to reshape it. Reshape how you use that. Not spending enough face-to-face time with them. They hear your words and they see your actions, but you're not really one-on-one much. That could cause them to feel tired, discouraged. Labeling, man, you start to call a child lazy, I think you'll find out they'll be lazy. You start to call them dumb and they're going to think, well, I'm dumb. I'm not going to try very hard. I'm dumb. You label them. Parents, you have power. Do you understand what power you have? You label that kid. Tell them they're smart, for heaven's sakes, even if they are just the worst. Tell them they're smart. You know, I never did get mad at American Idol when those singers would come on and just be God-awful, because thank God their parents loved them and said, you know what, you're a wonderful singer. I'm not even mad at their parents for that. They tried. Now, somebody should have been honest along the journey. But if you're going to label your kids, label them powerful and strong and loving and smart and God is good, and put that label on their life. Comparison, man, I wish you were more like your older brother. Well, I hate my older brother as a result of what you just said. You want to provoke your kids? You're just downright inconsistent. This one gets this discipline, this one gets this discipline. I don't understand. Or hypocrisy, which is so difficult as a parent. No one can play any electronics. The electronics are all off. And then dad's in there, guys, I'm sorry, this is me a lot. Like, well, I'm tired. I've been working all day. Y'all ain't done nothing. Just watch the hypocrisy. I'm guilty of that. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. There's some things. I want to give you some positives and we'll move quickly through these. 8 keys for building relationships that bond. That comes out of Chip's book as well. Here's a few things. You can throw these down in your notes really quick. Just show them unconditional love, okay? Constantly, you're going to have to work at this one. You got to work at it in your life constantly with your spouse, unconditional love, with your kids, unconditional love. I love them regardless of how much they're wrecking the house, how much I love them, and I'm going to show them that without condition. 2, I'm going to schedule time with them. Schedule time with them. There might need to be some father-daughter dates. There might be some mommy-son dates. I don't know. Y'all get one-on-one. If you've only got one, then try not to spoil that rascal, all right? That's a whole other matter. But spend some one-on-one time. Even if you've only, seriously, if you've only got one child, make sure you're still spending one-on-one with that kid. Don't think that, oh, he's the only one he's going to feel. No. Focused time. Focused attention is 3. Focused attention. 4, eye contact. Do I have any teachers, police officers, people that deal with young people? Does it drive you nuts that no one will look you in the eyes anymore? What has happened to people? They won't look you in the eyes anymore. I'm up here trying to eyeball every one of you just to make you feel that for a second. Look people in the eyes. You know what I feel when people don't look me in the eyes? You're lying to me. You're probably telling me a baloney story. Look people in the eyes. This comes from parenting. Look your children in the eyes and get their eyes on you. Especially when you're dealing with instruction. If they're not looking you in the eyes, they may or may not be listening. Eyeballs. 5, ongoing communication. You can never, ever talk enough. Talk to your children. You're shaking your heads. I am too. I don't like communicating that much, which is so silly. I'm up here like, I really, though, when I get home, want to just die for a little while after church because this is all the words I have, all right? Ongoing communication. 6, meaningful touch. Moms, you're probably doing this. You're hugging your kids. Dads, did you know it's okay to hug your children? Please do it. Hug them. Put your arm around them. Let them know. Meaningful touch. 7, this is, please, parents, have fun. Have fun with your kids. This might sound crazy, but I'm like against fun a lot of times. I really am, because fun is loud. At my house, fun is loud. So I'm against fun. I have to remind myself, just sometimes, turn daddy button off and just be a kid. Let's have some fun. I have to tell myself to do this. I bet some of you do. And 8, the most important one, pray with your children. Pray with your children. If you're uncomfortable praying with them, it's because you're uncomfortable praying. Work on that, buddy. Start praying with your kids. I want to give you a quote. This is from Ted Tripp's Shepherding a Parent's Heart. If you don't have this book, I'll give it to you. I got some. I give it to people who make babies around here. And we just give them. Give them out. Your child's needs are far more profound than his apparent behavior. His behavior does not just spring forth uncaused. His behavior reflects his heart. If you are to really help him, you must be concerned with the attitudes of the heart that drive his behavior. This understanding does marvelous things for discipline. It makes the heart the issue, not just the behavior. The point of confrontation is what is occurring in the heart. Your concern is to unmask your child's sin, helping him to understand how it reflects a heart that has strayed. That leads to the cross of Christ. Find the heart issue, not just the behavior. This is true in all things. This is just good advice when you're dealing with anybody. Find the heart. Do this in parenting. Here's the fourth way, the fourth thing. Raise them with appropriate discipline and instruction. Appropriate discipline and instruction. Some of you have reached the teenage years. You're reaching kids that are in adulthood now. There are stages of discipline and instruction, and you got to move forward. You got to move forward. Bring them up. There's a sense here in this wording. This is an illustration. He says, bring them up. This is the sense that you've got like a tomato vine growing. And we messed this up this year. Our tomato vines went nuts before we put the stakes in the ground. I'm going to tell you right now, that's crazy. That causes chaos. So as soon as that thing starts growing, you put those stakes in the ground. This idea of bringing them up is that you provide stakes so that at some point, they begin to come out of the top of the circle. And that's good. But what you have to do as parents at the bottom is you're real in close. That's a small little circle down there. And that's the idea that you keep the boundaries tight. You keep the boundaries tight and then you start to loosen the grasp. You start to loosen the grasp and then eventually the tomatoes come and they make fruits and veggies and all that. But you got to be tight at the bottom. Parents, here's where we struggle, most of us. We flip the stake upside down, and we put it over them like that. We've got this monster boundary, and then we realize, oh my gosh, we're making horrible children, and we start to tighten it up and tighten it up. And then when they're trying to sprout out and be adults, we try to choke them because you're going to be a terrible adult. Just I'm going to kill you. And it's never going to work. They're going to get out, they're going to sprout out the top, and they're going to sprout as far from you as they can go. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So can I speak on this just a couple minutes? Just a couple minutes. Proverbs 22 says, train them up in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I want to pop up a couple of images. Something that this, I hope, will help y'all. Pop this first graph up. Okay, look. When the kid is from 0 to 4 or 5, they need rules. Lots of them. Teach them how to obey. Don't reason with them. You ever tried to reason with a 4 or 5-year-old? It's chaos. They don't know what they're talking about. It doesn't matter what they're talking about. They need rules. Rules. Tight circle. Tight circle. If you're doing this well, by the time they're reaching 6 or 7, you can start to explain some things and say, well, this is why this is. This is why you need to go to bed at this time. This is why you should eat this. Because you're going to get stronger if you eat. You can start to work on the relationship. Not that you don't have a relationship with your babies, but they need lots and lots of instruction. More and more as you move into 11 and 12, who all's there? You're in the 11 and 12 phase? Boy, this is crucial. Because now they're asking a lot of questions, and you don't have all the answers. But you work hard to start building that relationship even more and starting because you're starting the process. You're broadening that circle. This child, believe it or not, is going to be an adult. They're more than halfway to become an adult. This is terrifying. I got a 10-year-old. We're moving into this phase. And they ask some absurd questions. You work through it. You work through it. And then 16 and 17, you start to teach them a resolution, how to resolve problems. You're having like legit conflict sometimes, but you work through it. You reconcile. Because parents, guess what? If you try to provide the rules at 16 and 17, it will not work. If some of you did that, God can work through that. You can build that relationship back. Some of you had that as children and you know how much that did not work. Some of you have friends like that and they're so far from God now because they hate everything that their parents were about. I want y'all to understand something about the gospel. Did you know that the gospel is so easy for a child to hear and so easy for them to grasp? And if you would just come close to being a godly parent. They will love the Lord. Most likely they will love Him. And the people that you meet in your life that can't stand God, did you know like 95% of the time it's because they hate their parents? Or they hated something they experienced growing up. It's not God. It's bad examples of Christianity. I want to give you a couple of things as I come to a close. And I didn't know if I wanted to talk about this or not, but did you know that like 80-some percent of these mass shooters we've been seeing, like 80-some percent are fatherless homes? Is that not incredible? 90-some percent of people in juvie and in prison, fatherless homes. This isn't a sermon just for fathers, but let me know, just hear me, fathers in the room. Your role is insanely important. That's not to belittle mothers in the room. Your role is incredible. There's stuff you can do that we just can't do. And there's love that you can show that I can't understand. You understand unconditional in a way, but for some reason, there's an epidemic that happens when a child does not have a father. Guys, you got to stay. You got to stick it out. You got to parent these children. You made them, lead them, feed them, grow them up in the way they should go. Proverbs 23 says, don't fail to correct your children. They won't die. I love the New Living. Some of you are like, I don't even understand this verse. That's what it says in this translation. They won't die if you spank them. So, y'all might need to talk to me afterwards about this. I don't know, but physical discipline may well save them from death. That's what the Bible says. You could read in another translation. It's not saying it really any different. Do not spare the rod is what some translations say. They won't die from it. It will save them from what kind of death? Spiritual death. Hebrews 12 says, for the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Let me close with this myth reality thing one more time. Chip says, parenting myth, your goal is to make your kids happy. They're never going to be happy. You can't do it. Reality, your goal is to make your kids holy. Make them holy. Set them apart for God. Raise them up, giving them the instruction of the Lord, loving them, high love, high discipline. I hope this made some sense. Church, I hope this was edifying to you. Give your children a biblical standard to obey. Show them the way of honor. Be sensitive and consistent with each child. And then train them with appropriate instruction. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this is a task that's really beyond our ability, our power. We know that, Father. It really begins with our human broken nature. And so first, Lord, we want to just show you gratitude. We first just want to start this prayer with praise and with giving you glory, knowing that it is our brokenness, it is our sinfulness, it is our stony hearts that cause us to be not only struggling in many areas personally, but also as parents, also as spouses. There's so many things that are in constant struggle, and it's because, Lord, we're broken. But we give you all the praise and glory, Lord, knowing that you took all that on. You didn't look at us and pity us and say, well, them poor people, what will they ever do? No, you said, I'll do something about this. You showed us sacrificial, unconditional love, the very love you're calling us to have for one another. You showed it first. So we have nothing but praise for you, Lord, knowing that you sent your son Jesus for us to die on the cross on our behalf, Lord, to take on the sin that we could never deal with and to take on death, which we so feared. And yet, Lord, you conquered all of that by the cross and by the resurrection. We love you, Lord Jesus, for that. And all we ask, Father, is that you would empower us and cause us to live out your word. Everything we spoke about this week, the things we speak about week in and week out, as we read your word together, as we teach, as we are encouraged in prayer, the things we see, we know they're far from us, and often we feel incapable. But God, help us this morning. And as we've heard this instruction, as we've read your word, that you would cause in us the thing, that you would cause in us the power, the desire first, the desire to raise kids in a godly way, and then the power to do it. Lord, I'm praying for every parent in the room right now that you would begin to do something in their minds and in their hearts, that you would just begin with this little prick of, all right, I know what's best for your child. That you would begin to teach and instruct us with that. That this godly approach would begin to just form in our minds and in our hearts. That we would start to see our kids and say, all right, what would it look like to raise them up towards God? Not just what I want, not just what I think, but what God wants for them. God, would you really just this week let that be a major theme of you showing us and instructing us how you would have our kids grow and mature. That you would show us that clear insight. And that you would begin to empower us to do it. We must admit our many, many flaws to you, God. We confess them now, knowing that we get overly angry at times, that we do things to frustrate our children, that we, and it's because we're frustrated a lot of times. There's so many things in our life that are creating great chaos. Lord, would you help us to see clearly through that? That you would be a light guiding us. As we love our spouses, as we love our children, as we love one another, Lord, that you would begin to move the chaos aside so that we could clearly follow after you. We confess all these many things to you. The ways that we've already sinned, the ways that we've already hurt our kids, we confess them now. We leave this to you now, Lord, knowing that only you and you alone can heal the heart. Would you empower us to be what you've created us and what you've designed us to be? We love you, Lord Jesus. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.